This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our TV show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. Transgender youth in the United States are subject to some of the highest levels of violence and bullying and form a significantly large proportion of at-risk youth in schools. A large part of the problem is simply the invisibility of the community, which filmmakers like my guest are striving to remedy. In a new short documentary set in Los Angeles, Jonathan Skernick profiles a transgender teenager named Johanna Rodriguez. In the film called Becoming Johanna, Skernick traces many of the common problems facing trans teens through Johanna's life. Lack of acceptance from parents, challenges in school, the prospects of surgery and hormones, and simply finding a safe community. The film is part of the Youth and Gender Media Project and will be screening across the country. I'm so pleased to welcome Jonathan Skernick, the director and producer of Becoming Johanna, and the subject of the film herself, Johanna Rodriguez. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hi.
Hi, thanks so much for joining us. Well, it's a very powerful and moving documentary, and a very intimate documentary as well. First, Johanna, let me start with you, Jonathan. How did you find the story? How did you come across Johanna and her journey and decide that this would make a very important subject for a film?
Well, I was looking for subjects for a film about trans youth because I was really excited to tell their story and help create a world where trans youth can feel safer and more included in society. And so I was volunteering at the Children's Hospital here in LA at their Division of Adolescent Medicine, and they have a division that works with trans youth. And so the person who was leading the division at the time for trans youth, Bambi Salcedo, recommended that I work with Johanna, someone who could possibly be a subject with a film. And so Johanna and I started filming and we negotiated that relationship. It was a little tough at the beginning, but we ended up working together for 5 years.
Johanna, what made you decide to let this filmmaker into your life? I mean, from the small glimpse that I got of you as a 16-year-old, you're now in your early 20s, but from the small glimpse I got, you seem to be a shy person. So letting this filmmaker film these parts of your life, was that difficult?
Yeah, I mean, shy is a little bit of an understatement. I was really just trying to hide from the world. And I mean, I didn't really have much support growing up. And that was kind of the reason how I really, really enjoy being in that children's hospital youth program that they had. They offer like counseling services. But I decided to work with Jonathan in between when I was doing their Angels of Change calendar. And I didn't know exactly to what extent he was planning on filming or how long he was planning on filming. So in my head, I was like young and thinking, oh, this is going to be just a small thing. It's going to be like in and out. And it turned out that like every year we would shoot something. We would shoot a little part of my life. And it worked out that way.
So this was a years long project. Jonathan, you started out and we see glimpses of what Johanna just mentioned, this Angels of Change project, which is a project I understand led by the Children's Hospital to sort of provide the support that trans youth need.
That's correct. It's a fundraiser and they have this wonderful calendar where 12 trans youth are featured on each month. And then they have this big party and they raise money for the program.
And it's a fashion show, and teenagers like Johanna got the full makeup and clothing treatment. Johanna, when did you, through your journey as a teenager, start to feel like that you were going to make it? Because this, I feel, is the most important part of your film. This fear, you're sort of standing on a knife's edge. Is this, and you watch the film and you think, is this girl going to make it or is she not? When did you start to feel that?
So I actually didn't feel that until I ended up in foster care. And I got the help I needed, essentially. And I was in a home that worked out perfectly. And it's exactly what I needed when I was like 16, 17. And I actually stayed up until I was like 20 through this other program. They allowed me to stay in this foster parents' home until I was 20. My foster mother had a gay son, so she was still very like community involved. And I think that's what really helped it nurture me. She was a parent, she treated me as her kid, and that really pushed me to go to school and like finish high school and then at least give it a try with college, at least my first year. And then once my rebellious side is still kicking in because I'm not used to the type of parenting, I decided to do my own thing afterwards and stop going to school and then focus on working. But that's really essentially what made me be like, wow, okay, I'm helped here. That was like my ideal goal of like after school, I have something I can do. But I mean, prior to that, ended up in Children's Hospital really was like the first stepping stone. And then that became a series of like, oh, wow, this is the right step that, you know, it's going to lead me to the place where I need to be.
So there's a very, I think, important scene throughout the film, which are the conversations that you, Joanna, have with your biological mother. And I'm quite amazed that this part of the film was shown. And I thought this was really touching because on the one hand, it felt like your mother was struggling herself to find out how to accept you as her daughter when what she really wanted to do was have her son back. How important, Jonathan, was that scene in the film? And also, does that indicate the importance of having family support as sort of being the thing that makes the difference between in trans teens' lives?
So is that a question for me or Jonathan?
Yeah, well, let me ask both of you. So Jonathan, let me start with you in terms of how important it was for you to show that scene because it was a little awkward, right?
Well, I mean, I really felt a lot of sympathy with Johanna's mom because, I mean, on the one hand, I really, really wanted her to love and accept Johanna for who she was. And that was obviously she wasn't capable of that. But at the same time, she comes from a cultural background that had just trained her from the very beginning of her life to not understand or accept what it means to be trans. And so even though she doesn't accept Johanna and ends up having a big struggle there, and Johanna has to leave, I still feel like she comes across as a sympathetic person in the film. And that was really important to me because I didn't want to make her like bad. And Johanna taught me something so beautiful near the end of the film. Johanna said to me one day while we were just driving, I guess if I'm going to have a relationship with my mom, I guess I'm going to have to accept her. Which is so wise and amazing. Like that took me another 30 years of my own life to realize that about my parents. Because what she really wanted was her mom to accept Johanna, wanted her mom to accept her, but she realized it had to be the other way around.
Right. Now, and Johanna, in the film you talk about being sort of subject to some of these, you know, types of things that a lot of trans youth, gay and lesbian youth, face from parents who just can't accept who their children are in terms of the sort of pray the gay away types, you know, so-called therapies. Can you share anything with us about how those things made you feel and how they really might have possibly hurt rather than, you know, in any way helped?
Yeah, well, I mean, for the longest time, I was extremely shy and really closed off to most people around me. And that's one of the reasons why, because I didn't really have like a support group and I didn't really know people that were like me or even in just like anything in the LGBT community. I didn't have like a support group. I was in the Valley. It was very closed. I had one best friend. It's a really small neighborhood and it was really hard. And I remember there was times where my mom would always want me to go to church and, you know, she had these expectations that it's just a phase and she didn't really believe it. And so she would ignore most of it until I finally decided that I wanted to do something about it. And I wanted to, you know, be authentic and be myself and get started in that process. And she struggled with that in the beginning. And I'm sure she's still struggling now. We don't have like a super close relationship, but I still keep in contact with her just so I can reach out to my younger sister. So that's when I really decided to accept her essentially in a way that's who she is as a person. And we're not gonna be the same, which is wrong, but the best thing I can do is kind of just accept her and move forward or else I'll be harboring these hate feelings towards her. Resentment. So
in addition to needing family support, the other aspect that this film showcases that's so important is simply having a good school environment. Schools can be very terrifying places, of course, for young trans folks, whether you're a small child or even a teenager. And I understand, Jonathan, that it wasn't until Johanna found her place in a new school environment and the support of the principal that she really started to take seriously academics, and that was a really important part of the story, right?
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, there is now a law in the state of California that protects gender identity as a protected class, but at that time that wasn't the case, and Johanna had a terrible time of using the bathroom that she felt was appropriate for her, and there's a story in the film where she actually gets a ticket for trying to use the girls' bathroom, and then the conflict that arises out of that. So at that time especially, finding a sympathetic principal who really backed Johanna was a hard thing to do, hard thing to find in the LAUSD school system. And Johanna found this principal who really did champion her, and she's a real hero in the film.
This is Independence High School?
And the principal was Deb Smith.
So tell us about that relationship, Johanna, with Deb Smith. And what was heartening in the film was seeing you eventually finding, you know, after sort of realizing you wouldn't get the support from your biological mother that you really wanted, that you did find other women in your life who became those mother figures. So tell us about Deb Smith.
So Deb was really, I mean, she was great. I mean, she herself identifies as a lesbian woman, and that alone kind of really made the connection a little deeper, just because she gets it. Like, she gets the full idea of what's going on. And it's just, she really strived for, really pushed me to essentially go to school, finish school. And she got that I was kind of just lashing out and just being a teen too, and just trying to get people's attentions to kind of like, help me. It was like a cry of help. And she got that. She completely understood that. And she was actually the one who got me in contact really with Children's Hospital. And yeah, so like from day one, really, since I she's been helping me out even prior to me not even knowing her. It was weird. It was like I was about to get expelled from the school district, and she was stopping in the sidelines for that doesn't happen. I don't know. She's great.
And that's so important, right? I mean, it seems as though we don't always talk, particularly on programs like this that focus on politics, how important it is to have the love and acceptance of parents and family in life. But those are social issues, and particularly for kids who are considered, you know, at risk, quote unquote, and transgender youth, that becomes such an important thing. Jonathan, what role do you see your film playing? Is this the kind of film that you hope parents of children who have decided and to tell their parents that, you know, I am a transgender child and I need you to accept me, do you see this film becoming an important tool to help parents and children kind of navigate the struggle that often ensues?
Absolutely. In fact, already I've heard stories from friends and acquaintances who've taken the film, kids who are trans or genderqueer, and taking the film and showing to their parents, and their parents having a deeper understanding and more sympathy for their own children. But there are other films in the series that are more geared towards parents and helping them become more sympathetic to their own children or the children of their friends, their children's friends who might be transgender, genderqueer, or gender nonconforming. This film, we really feel like, is more oriented towards the institutions that support, could theoretically be very, very supportive of trans youth, regardless of family acceptance. That's why this story is so, I feel, so important for other people to see, because Johanna has a positive outcome. She's sitting here beautifully, successfully in her life because she's had so much support, even though she didn't have family support. So we're really excited to help use the film to help encourage school districts and foster care systems and departments of children and family services all over the country become more understanding and accepting, and build into their policies and treatment of young people to be more inclusive and welcoming of trans youth. So that's how we're starting to use the film. We're really excited about that.
So let's watch a clip from the trailer of the film, Becoming Johanna. And when we come back, we'll tell you where you might be able to watch it.
When I was young, I I played with Barbies. Dolls to me were like something that I was collecting and was interested in when I was little. They were like my friends, I guess. You know, I didn't have an imaginary friend, I had dolls. Like I would role play and talk, and in my mind, I would be the girl and then somebody would be the boy. Nobody actually knows that. Biologically, I'm a boy, but like, I'm a girl. Like I was just born as a boy.
It was hard because I was not used to it. I had to get used to it. The first time I saw Johanna wearing a blouse and a lipstick, I remember that I sat far away and I was, oh my God. Like I wanted to call Johanna, but I couldn't.
Well, the first time I realized I wanted to be a girl was probably when I was already like leaving middle school.
I was like, maybe you're confused, maybe you're joking, or I didn't take it serious, you know? I just let it go.
And that's an excerpt from the trailer of the short film Becoming Johanna, and my guests included the subject of the film herself, Johanna Rodriguez, and the director and producer, Jonathan Skernick. Jonathan, where can people watch this documentary if they're in LA, where the film is made, where we're based, or even other parts of the country?
Well, if they want to watch the film anywhere in the world, they can go to youthandgendermediaproject.org and they can watch excerpts from the film or they can purchase the film. We're also launching a really exciting screening series that we're going to bring all over the country. We're launching it this Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. at Children's Hospital here in Los Angeles, where after the screening, we're bringing representatives from 9 different agencies, including the school district and Department of Children and Family Services and a foster care agency and the police department and ACLU and Children's Hospital and other folks. We're all going to be talking not only about the current work that they're doing around inclusion for trans youth and promoting trans youth's health and support, but also how they can all, as agencies, work better together. Because right now there are definitely lots of efforts to work better together, but there's always more they can do. So it's really exciting to have representatives in the room from all these agencies talking with each other, with an audience of professionals to brainstorm how we can all work.
And that website again is youthandgendermediaproject.com. Finally, Johanna.
.org.
Thank you. Finally, Johanna, what are you doing? What is your life like these days? And in looking at this film, which really captures in intimate detail your sort of crucial teenage years, how do you feel about it?
It's a little weird to hear myself talk every now and then. And just, I mean, I love, there's a scene when I was just talking about Deb. I love that scene because that is like 100% what I feel of Deb. And
Deb Smith, who's the principal of the school you went to, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll see more of that scene in the actual film. But yeah, there's some times where I use a lot of profanity too, which I'm so sorry about. I was struggling with just trying to get certain help, and I was just lashing out at everybody. And every now and then, I feel like I still have a little bit of that. But as of now, I am working at LACMA. And
Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
And I work at their coffee shop right there in the meantime, and I'm trying to hopefully get my ass back in school and figure that out. But as of now, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm kind of figuring out my life still in a way, and what I want to do when I grow up.
Right. Well, you're still extremely young, so you got plenty of time. I want to wish both of you best of luck with the film in your future projects. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guests are Jonathan Skernick, the director and producer of the short film Becoming Johanna, and Johanna Rodriguez, the subject of the film. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.